Classic Hits, good morning. How are you doing? This is Trina Mara. It is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits. And on the line, we have Mrs. Smart Money HQ from Instagram. Maybe you follow her. Kel, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Trina. How are you? I'm flying it, by the way. But how are you?
You find it so funny, don't you, the way you're called Mrs. Smart Money? Do people call you that day to day?
Oh, I get called all sorts of things, particularly by my kids. But yes, this is part what it would be a common one. But my name is Kel, so feel free to call me Kel.
So listen, the reason we're talking to you today, January, everybody's broke, particularly after the year we've had as well. And you seem to know what you're doing when it comes to money, which is very unlike a lot of us. And back in 2019, you did a no-spend year. How on earth, first of all, did you do it? How is it possible and why did you do it?
Naivety is a big part of all these things, isn't it? Well, you know, the backstory is I worked in pharma for about 16 years and I really enjoyed my job, but I found that, and this was back before COVID, before everything, we were all commuting and everything was super busy, but I wanted to spend more time with the kids. So I have two kids. And I just found with the nature of my job, I couldn't do that. So I sat down with my husband and I said, look, could I take a year out? Would it be possible? Because living in Ireland is expensive. So we worked out the math and we thought, right, okay, if I step back for a year, we could give this a go. But I also thought, since we were going to be cutting our household income in half, I kind of wanted to make the money that was coming in work as hard as I possibly could. So I took it upon myself to do this no-spend year.
But how is that possible? Because there's so many things that we need. And, you know, I don't know whether you're like me, you go into Penny's to buy a pair of socks and you end up spending 100 quid. It's very hard to kind of step away from the temptation to spend.
It is. Look, I mean, there are so many wonderful things in this world and we all want a piece of it. But I suppose with the no spend year, I set a rule. So for this 1 year, now I have loosened up since, you know, breathe a sigh of relief by the end of this. I stopped dyeing my hair. I didn't buy clothes. We stopped getting takeaways, eating out. And when we did spend money, I made sure to think, well, is this something that we need? And it made it more of a kind of a mindful experience. And I kind of made sure that, like, the kids will obviously need things. But I, for example, instead of having 20 pairs of shoes that were bought at a really good sale, I made sure that they had like one really good set of runners and a good set of welly boots and a good set of, you know, sandals, so that they didn't need 20 of a thing, they just had a couple of what they actually needed.
Okay.
And it was just loads of little decisions like that to just kind of slow down the spending. And then over the year, we cut our outgoings by over 27,000 euro.
Oh my God. And what about things when it comes to, say, the car? What did you do there?
Now, yes, the car was a bit of an outlier. So we would have been a traditional two-car household. And as anybody who knows, cars are money pits, right? Between tax, insurance, fuel and everything. So we did take a bit of a leap and we moved from traditional two cars to one electric car. And that actually had a significant impact on our outgoings because we weren't paying for petrol every couple of days. We could just charge the car at home and things like that. So that did make a big difference. And then only having to kind of service in mind one car as opposed to two. So yeah, there was a bit of change in how we ran our lifestyle, but yeah, we made it work because I wanted that year at home.
A lot of people do. They consider doing that and then they think, God, I'll be stuck now. If he's going to work and I need to go and collect the kids or do the supermarket or those kind of things, how are we going to manage? So were there days when it was a bit of a pain for you?
Yeah, like, there were some days when it was a struggle. Now, to be fair, my husband, he does have a motorbike and he would have commuted into work quite often. But then on the really cold days, he'd take the car and I would just make sure to maybe do the shopping in the evening or, you know, do the errands when the car was home. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit more juggling, like it wasn't perfect by any manner of means. But for the most part, it worked really, really well because if he was taking the bike, then I had the car during the day. So we didn't miss out from that perspective.
Okay. Now, your supermarket, your grocery bill, this is something that I don't know what, even when I go with a list, I end up spending way more than I thought I was going to, and you nearly collapse at the till. And I was saying to somebody else there a while ago, I was trolley shamed one of the days there a few months ago in the supermarket by a woman behind me who said, "Oh my God, do you have 25 kids at home?" And I nearly collapsed. I was so embarrassed. So, and I kind of thought, God, am I overspending here? What is your grocery bill? So there's yourself, your husband and two children. How much are you spending every week?
Yeah, so for during the no spend year, I gave ourselves a maximum limit of €100 per week. And that's what we did because I found I would have always been reasonably good at tracking our expenses. And we were spending over 10,000 a year on food alone. And so I thought, right, okay, if we can bring that back down, that would be a huge saving in itself. And it worked. And what I did was each week, if I could keep it like maybe 91, 92 euro, that kind of 6, 7, 8 euro, I put in a separate little savings account. And that kind of worked for our Christmas shopping. So we could do a big, lovely, big, generous shop at Christmas. But really, when it comes to food shopping, the best kind of piece of advice I can give to most people is start from not a deprivation, not I need to cut all these things out, but start from where is my food waste? What am I throwing out most of? Because we do throw a massive amount of our hard-earned money into the bin without thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's like one carrot, it's one thing of lettuce, it's an out-of-date packet of eggs. And the other thing is, like, if you start for your food wastage and kind of think, well, like, if I buy lettuce, am I buying it because I think it's healthy or am I buying it because I actually eat it? Mm-hmm. And just thinking a little bit more like that. And also our freezers. Our freezers are a little treasure chest of food and money locked in there.
That goes in there and then you never ever take it out ever again. Do you know what? You actually cannot fit another thing into my freezer and we never take the stuff out and actually use it. It's terrible, isn't it?
You're as human as the rest of us. We're all guilty of it. And you pick up, you know, a great priced chicken or something and go, oh, you know, I'll put that in the freezer now for whenever I need it. But we keep buying new chickens every week and there's stock of chickens in the freezer.
So were you using the stuff from the freezer? Shock horror.
I actually did. Can you believe that? And it actually took me the first kind of month or two of that year to kind of bring my freezer back down to a normal level. And it saved me. It made that first month so much easier because I was using money I'd already spent. And it gave me a chance to kind of get used to the new 100 euro budget and ease myself into it that way. And now in the freezer, I can pretty much tell you what's in it and when we're going to use it. And it's so refreshing to know, okay, look, there's the mince there now and there's this for that. And I'll go out and I'll get it the day before because we know we're making a bolognese. And it makes cooking that bit easier once you know what's there.
Did you avoid then, I think we're all guilty of, you do your big food shop and then you're still in and out of the shops once or twice or three times a week getting more bits and pieces. And that means you could be spending 30, 40 quid a go doing that. Did you cut that one out as well, going into shops during the week?
Yes and no. So yes, I would do the one big shop and I'd have my list going in. And it does take a bit of practice to stick to a list because there are so many nice and shiny things that you want to put into your trolley as you're going around, all the special offers and everything. But I always left a bit of money over for doing one, and if we're super stuck, a second little top up. But the practice really comes in making sure that if you're going in for milk and bread, you come out with just milk and bread and not the 20 other things. But it is, it's an autopilot we go on. Well, I found that I was an autopilot and I found the first couple of weeks particularly hard because I was going to think, oh, I find myself in the specials aisle or, you know, I pick up kiwis because there's a special offer, but nobody in our house really eats kiwis. But I would have picked them up anyway. And I had to get out of that habit. It just took a while. But I do know I would always forget something because we're all human and we're not perfect. But having a certain amount of money, like 20, 30 euro for that top-up shop and knowing, okay, that's what I have for the top-up shop and don't go over it, that's what gets that heart under control.
And did you deal, Kel, in cash or did you go with your card? Because I think, you know, I always go with the card, but maybe if I had the cash with me, I'd know literally this is the budget and I can't go over it.
So you're bang on. And everybody is different, right? Some people prefer the cash and they're more disciplined with the cash and having cash envelopes. And if that's what works for somebody, run with it. Just grab it with two hands and run with it. Because the thing with money is it's very personal to everybody. Me, I do prefer to be digital because I'm one of those people who if there's cash in my wallet, it's like it's burning a hole there and I have to spend it. So digital actually works better for me and I have everything on the digital spreadsheet and things like that. But if you find yourself being more diligent with your money by writing it out and having it in cash, do it that way. You have to do it in a way that works for you.
Did you not feel along, I mean, this was an entire year, did you not feel, do you know what, feck it, let's get the takeaway tonight? Or how did you stop yourself and your husband stop, you know, because we do this at home when it comes to a diet. We say we're going to be healthy and then one of us will always say, sure, just tonight we'll get the takeaway. How did you resist the temptation?
It was a hard habit to break. I love a takeaway as much as anybody else. what we started doing is, it's a thing, I give names to everything, those systems work for me, but I called it velvet rope, and it was just making things easier. So I'm not good with cold turkey and super, super strict. So what we would do is we developed Junk Food Friday in our house. I said, right, if we're going to have the equivalent of a takeaway, it doesn't have to be healthy, it could be just junk food. So when I was getting the shopping, I'd throw in the, you know, the pre-made chips or the, you know, the shop-bought pizza or whatever it is, and I'd have that in the freezer. So Friday night, we all knew it was going to be just a junk food evening, and then you didn't feel so left out, and you also weren't cooking all day. It was just something you threw in the oven, and half an hour later, there you go.
Ah, so instead of a takeaway, you had a fake-away.
Exactly. And you need a treat. You can't be super good all the time. And instead of getting a takeaway, just have, you know, have that evening at home where you can just have that chill out, bit of bad food, and then get back to your healthy eating the next day.
Yeah. Now, I've got a 3-year-old at home, and I cannot stop spending money on her. Were you not one as well with the kids? So, you know, the way they go to the shop with you and they say, oh, mom, I want that or I want this. How did you say no to them?
That's hard. We love our kids, and they're super cute, particularly when they want something. I'm sure you find that with your 3-year-old. It is hard. So what I would do is I would give them concessions, and I would say, look, if it's in the budget, they can have one thing. And that would, I would fit that into the grocery budget. So my son has this thing for tuck biscuits. He's always had a thing for tuck biscuits. So I would make sure, okay, look, we get that, right? And that's your thing. And I'll put them in the press. He'd get his one or two a day or into his lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
But the other thing I started doing was, okay, they love buns and cakes. So I would make sure that I would put the time aside to have a few buns cooked during the week and let them ice them in whatever colours and things they wanted. So they had something that was particular to them and a treat for them. It wasn't always perfect because kids are kids, but after a while they did get into the groove of it. And the other thing, actually, as every kid loves ice cream treats and sweets, we did another thing along with Junk Food Friday. We did ice cream Sunday. So every Sunday we'd have ice creams in the freezer, and we'd have jellies and little sweets just put aside in a tub. And we made a big ceremony out of taking it out on a Sunday after dinner, and the kids could decorate their own big ice cream Sunday.
Okay.
So no matter what, every Sunday they knew they could have this lovely big ice cream and decorate it. So when we were shopping during the week to get, you know, what if I brought them with me and they said, oh, can I have this? And I said, well, don't forget now, you have your ice cream Sunday on Sunday, and you can decorate whatever you want. You'll have your different toppings and stuff. And after a while, they kind of went, you know what? Okay. Yeah. And they got into the groove of it.
Kel, were you invited to things that year, say weddings or dinners out or, you know, events that might have been on with your friends? Because you don't want to be an absolute hermit.
Oh, no, I still, like, the whole thing with the no spend year is I still wanted to live a life. And there were times where there were weddings and things. So what I did for the weddings is I would do my own hair and my own nails, and I would either wear a dress I already had, or else I'd borrow a dress off a friend, and I would give a present as normal, right? I would have done that because I felt that if I was saving all the money in the other places, I still wanted to be a normal part of society.
And you don't want to be known as being scabby Mrs. Smart Money.
You're right. But that's what it's about. It's about making sure that you spend money where it matters and where it's important. That's what the background of the whole thing was. And it wasn't about being screwed, and it wasn't about getting anybody else to pay for my lifestyle. It was about me being really careful and making sure that I got value when I spent money.
Did you still go then for dinners and things? Did people get fed up if you said, oh, I'm actually not going tonight because I'm saving?
Well, actually, what I did to preempt that, so that was hard because I did like eating out. And yes, with all these things about going to do an all-spend year, I had to be strict at certain times. So again, this is back before COVID. What I started preempting is I would invite friends over for dinner when we could do that. And if they had kids and things, it would save them on babysitters, and we might have a little bit earlier in the day, and they'd have the kids and feed them and give them a movie. And then ourselves, I'd cook a meal and we'd chat and have music in the background and things like that. And that worked really, really well because you could do it on a weekend. You could do it even on a weekday evening. So there was still a social element to it. It was just done in a different way.
Okay. Now, did you leave your job then in advance of the no spend year, or did you kind of save the money up first and then leave?
I left my job in advance.
Oh, how nerve-wracking was that day?
It was one of the scariest things I've ever done in my entire life, Trina. I remember sitting outside with my letter to hand in my notice, and I was a mess beforehand. And I loved my job. I worked at it for 16 years. I loved the farm industry. I always have. But what I had to keep going back to in my mind, and this was a value I had, was that I could always work, but I could never rewind time to go back to my children's childhood. And I just wanted that bit of time with them. Everybody will have different goals, and everybody will have different stories and different wants. And this is what I wanted. I wanted that bit of time. So as scary as it was walking away, I knew I had to do it. And I knew that I could always go back. I can always work. I know I can always work, but I can't rewind that time. I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely. I get you completely. But did you have it in your mind for a while then beforehand, before you decided to take that leap?
It had been on my mind for a while, but I was really, really torn because I love working. I've always loved working. I worked since I was small in picking strawberries down in Wexford the whole way up along. And I worked through college and I worked through everything. And working was part of my identity. It was a huge part of who I was. It's like you meet somebody and you go, oh, so hi, yeah, what do you do? And you tell them your job. You know, that's what we often lead with. So stepping back from that was leaving a huge part of who I was behind. And there was a lot of mental adjustment in my world to get my head around that. But it all came back to, for me, was just to have that year with the kids. That's what it all came back to.
Was it just the year then? Did you go back to your job after that 1 year?
As it turned out, I didn't. The year actually went really, really well. I found that we could manage on the one income, which was great. But what it also did was I spent a good bit of time on Instagram kind of keeping me accountable for the year. But I ended up teaming up with Orpen Press, and now I have a book coming out in the next week or so on mindful money. It's on the no spend year and the habits that I built up, so that if somebody wants to kind of follow in the footsteps, they can.
Amazing.
And now I'm actually working for myself. I mentor people to get better with money, and I'm currently studying to be a QFA. So the whole world that I never thought would be open to me is opening up now on the back of it. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? All from kind of a little project that you kind of set yourself. So the book is called Mindful Money, More Money, More Freedom, More Happiness. So keep an eye out for that. I see on your Instagram, which is Mrs. Smart Money HQ, that you're urging people to do a no spend January. And you've got all sorts of templates and everything up there available, don't you?
I do, because what I found when I was starting off with this, I didn't find a huge amount of resources that were kind of Irish based. So what I decided to help people get started, because money can be daunting and money can be scary and we feel like we don't have control over it. So for January, I'm going to walk people through no spend days and what a no spend day is, and just get those little spends under control, because that's the money you use then to build up a rainy day fund or to put into a pension or pay off a loan. And by just doing small little things, you can free up that money and start putting it to things that are worthwhile in your life instead of feeling like you're behind. So anybody who wants to follow along, please do. I'm here, I'm in Instagram all the time, and if you have questions, throw them at me. That's what I'm here for. I love doing this.
Great. And also available to advise people one-on-one how they can get their spending under control, and doing it in a normal kind of a person way that they can understand. You're an ordinary mum there with your family, and you managed to do it. 27 grand. I can't believe that. 27 grand. Oh my God. So congratulations on achieving that, first of all, and congratulations on the book. This is brilliant news. Where will that be available? Is that going to be on sale on your Instagram or in shops or where?
In shops, in everywhere, like Easons, Waterstones, all the, anywhere you get books, you should be able to get it.
Okay, and is it called Mrs. Smart Money HQ, or what's the author on it?
The author is my name, Kel Gallivan. You'll see my face on the front of it as well.
Yeah. The biggest struggle for me would be the not going to the hairdresser. I'd look, I don't know, like the Yeti monster by the end of it if I didn't do that. But we've gotten used to that, I think, because of COVID. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I could cope without the hairdresser. Listen, you're very good to take our call today. Well, check out your Instagram. People might want to follow that and also try out doing a no-spend January. You never know. By the end of the year, you might have 27 grand.
You never know.
Brilliant. Thanks
Thank
so
you,
much.
Trina.
Take care. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.